Good morning. I appreciate Matthew leading our songs this morning. All of them had to do with going to heaven, and that's certainly an encouraging theme. And it helps us to remember our goal and our journey along the way as we live in this life. And it's good to be able to sing together and now have an opportunity to study God's Word together. I want to answer the question this morning, why do you read the Bible? And that might seem like a simplistic question. It might be something that we don't think about. We read the Bible from time to time, but why do we do that? I asked Matthew if he would read for the scripture reading this morning in Luke chapter 10. And if you'll notice in Luke chapter 10, when Jesus was speaking there to that lawyer that stood up and made trial of him, Jesus asked him, "How do you read? How do you read?" And so a lawyer, someone who was obviously reading God's law, he had studied God's law, he read it on a regular basis. This was not a lawyer in the sense of someone that we know of today in a courtroom. This is someone who teaches the Word of God in Israel. "What shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And he said unto him, "What is written in the law? How do you read?" Look at that. How do you read? Jesus was not asking, how do you read in the sense of how do you pronounce the words? Do you read fast or do you read slow? Do you pronounce the words correctly or incorrectly? He's not asking how in that sense. He's asking how in this sense. How do you read in such a way? What is your motive? What is your purpose in reading? When you read something, what do you do with what you read? That's what Jesus is asking. He's not asking, well, how do you read? Tell me the rate of speed in which you pronounce the words. He's not asking that. He's asking about his purpose in reading, his motive, or why he reads. What does he hope to get out of it, we might say. And because Jesus asked that question, we should ask that same question. When we open up our Bibles, what is our purpose and motive in doing that? We know from God's Word that reading Scripture in the Lord's church is very important. For example, in Colossians chapter 4 and verse 16, we're told there that the epistle was to be read to all of the church. God's people need to read all of God's Word. And so in Colossians chapter 4 and verse 16, we read, "And when this epistle hath been read among you," they were to read all of the epistle. "When this epistle has been read among you, cause it to be read also in the church of the Laodiceans, and that you also read the epistle from Laodicea." We don't have that particular epistle. They were to read all of it. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 27, "I adjure you by the Lord that this epistle be read unto all the brethren." So reading God's Word in the church is extremely important. Paul said, "I adjure you." It's not an option. You turn over to 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 13. Paul tells young Timothy, "Till I come, give heed to reading, to exhortation, and to teaching." The particular word translated reading here means public reading. So Timothy was to stand up in the congregation and read it publicly. And so the reading of Scripture is very important. But the question I want to ask this morning is, why do we read? What is our motive or reason behind the reading? Now turn back with me to Luke chapter 10. You find that when Jesus asked the lawyer, "What is written in the law?" Notice he's asking a man who reads and teaches the law. He asked him, "What is written in the law?" That would be like me asking, you know, David, a farming question about raising cows. I mean, why would I ask him that? He knows about that. He knows all about that. I would be asking for some other reason. Jesus asked a man whose business is to read and teach the law of God. He asked him, "What is written in the law?" Well, why would Jesus ask him that? Because you can read something on a regular basis and not read it in the right way. not read it with the right purpose or motive in applying it in your life. So he asked Jesus, what is written in the law? How do you read it? And the lawyer answered, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy strength and with all thy mind. He quotes from Deuteronomy chapter 6, and he may have just quoted that without, well, give me a second, Jesus, let me turn over here and find. He probably just quoted that. He was very well versed in the scripture. And Jesus said unto him, you have answered right. This do, and thou shalt live. Jesus is saying, it's okay to read it, it's okay to quote it, but you have to go out and practice it. And so it's possible for a person to read the Word of God and have the wrong motive, and so he just doesn't go practice it. Look at verse 29, and this tells us that the man had a problem with his motive in reading, but he, the lawyer, desiring to justify himself, well, what would he be justifying? He would be justifying his own personal character. Something in his own personal life was not right with what he had just read. And so he's going to try to justify it. He's going to try to make excuse. He's going to try to say something to alleviate his own personal behavior. He, trying to justify himself, said, well, who is my neighbor? So notice in verse 27, he had quoted the part of the law, and that would be Leviticus 18, verse 18. He had quoted the part of the law that said, love thy neighbor as thyself. He read it, he quoted it, but a couple of verses later he's saying, well, now who is my neighbor? That tells you that the man read the verse, but he had no intention of applying it. He knew who his neighbor was. Really? Do you have to define who a neighbor is? Who's my neighbor? Do you have to define that? He knew who his neighbor was, but he was trying to justify himself because of this. There were certain people, certain neighbors that he didn't want to love. He didn't want to be around. He didn't want to help. And we know that from the story. Jesus tells a story about a good Samaritan who helped this man who had been robbed. But look at the two people who wouldn't help him. Verse 31, a priest walked by. He passed by. And verse 32, a Levite. These are going to be the lawyer's friends. The Pharisees, the scribes, the priests, the Levites, the people who are serving in the temple. That's going to be the lawyer's friends. People like the lawyer. They walked by. But this Samaritan stopped and helped him. So you can read. You can read the Word of God. You can quote the Word of God. But you don't have, or I don't have, the right motive or reason behind that in order to read it and understand it and apply it in my life. So this question, how do you read? In other words, what is your motive for reading? That's a very important question. Bible reading today is falling on hard times. This is a poll that has come just in the past couple of years or so, around 2013. It was entitled, Americans Love the Bible But Don't Read It Much. And this article said, quote, more than half of Americans think the Bible has too little influence on culture. They see in moral decline. Yet only 1 in 5 Americans read the Bible on a regular basis, according to a new survey. More than 3/4 of Americans, 77%, think the nation's morality is headed downhill. And I would say amen to that. According to a new survey from the American Bible Society. The survey showed the Bible is still firmly rooted in American soil. 88% of respondents said they own a Bible. 80% think the Bible is sacred. 61% wish they read the Bible more, and the average household has 4.4 Bibles. We have a lot of Bibles laying around. You'll see them in the doctor's office and hotel rooms and all over the place. But are we reading them? Many are not. If the Bible is so commonplace, the article goes on to say, in America, wouldn't its moral teachings counteract the downward trend? It would if you read it. and applied it, it certainly would. But we're not reading it with the motive of applying it. Almost a third of respondents said moral decline was a result of people not reading the Bible. Amen. While 29% cited the negative influence of America. That's why we're in decline. And one in four cited corporate corruption. No, it's all due to not reading God's Word. And yes, we have corporate corruption. We have negative influence in America. We have all of that and a host of other things. But it's all due to not following God's Word. But we have a lot of Bibles around. Number one, many are not reading them. And number two, when others read it, it's not with the right purpose or motive, as we'll see in this morning's lesson. Doug Birdsall, president of American Bible Society, and they're in the business of publishing Bibles not only in English, but in hundreds of languages for people all over the world. He's in contact with these figures daily. He said he sees a reason why the Bible isn't connecting with people. He said, quote, "I see the problem as analogous to obesity in America. We have an awful lot of people who realize they're overweight, but they don't follow a diet," Birdsall said. He said, "People realize the Bible has values that would help us in our spiritual health, but they just don't read it." And so that's what's going on. We all admit that it has some good. We just don't want to open up and read it, just like we all admit that a diet would be good for us, but we just don't want to diet. It's there. It's right there. It's accessible. It's easy. We just don't want to do that. So there are a lot of Bibles around, but we're not reading them. If they read it, the majority, 57%, only read their Bibles four times a year or less. Over half of the Americans read their Bible four times a year or less. That's why we're in the problem that we're in. Only 26% of Americans said they read their Bibles on a regular basis, four or more times a week. So about a quarter of Americans read it on a regular basis. Younger people also seem to be moving away from the Bible. A majority, 57%, of those ages 18 to 28 read their Bibles less than three times a year, if at all. Now think about that, brethren and friends. We've got a mass of humanity, 18 to 28, that are not reading their Bibles. When we're dead and gone, they're going to be the senators and the congressmen and the presidents and the governors of states and all that. It is going to be a spiritual devastation. And so, Americans love the Bible, but don't read it much. That's the title of the article. And if you were to take a Bible and go around and talk to people in this community, they'd say, "Oh, that is the greatest book there is. I love my Bible." The Bible. But we're not reading it and putting it into practice. It's just words. And so I want to talk this morning about why do you read your Bible? Why do I read my Bible? We all do it. All of us here read it, but why? What's our motive? And so Jesus gets to the heart of the question. When Jesus would question the Jews in his ministry regarding their reading of Scripture, he meant to question their motive or their purpose in reading. He wasn't asking them, "Do you physically read the Word of God?" He wasn't interested in how fast or slow or how they pronounce the words. He was talking about their motive because everybody was reading it. But they weren't reading it with the right purpose. This is mentioned three different ways in the Gospels. Sometimes Jesus would say, "Have you not read?" Turn with me to Matthew chapter 12. We'll see an example of that. "Have you not read?" He wasn't asking them, have you never picked up a scroll and read? He knew that they had. He was asking them, "Have you not read? Have you not read what you've read and understood it and applied it?" Matthew chapter 12, verse 1. at the season, Jesus went out on the Sabbath through the grain fields, and his disciples were hungry, and he began to pluck ears and to eat. But the Pharisees, when they saw it, said unto him, Behold, thy disciples do that which is not lawful to do upon the Sabbath. But he said unto them, Have you not read what David did? He knew that they had read that. He's asking, Have you not read this story and understood it and applied it in such a way that you won't turn around and condemn my disciples? There are two stories here, one about David and one about the priests working on the Sabbath day. And if they had read that and understood what that meant and what that involved, verse 7, that there is a place for mercy, then you would not have condemned the guiltless. He did the same thing in Matthew chapter 19 and verse 4 when the Pharisee said, Is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? He said, Have you not read that he who made them from the beginning? Of course he knew that they had read Genesis 2, but they were to read it and get from that that when you marry, you stay together. A second way that he would word this was, Did you never read? Turn with me to Matthew 21. Matthew 21 and verse 16. Did you never read? Well, he knew that they had read that physically, but he's asking them, did you never read it with the motive and purpose of understanding it and applying it in your own life? He's getting to the heart of motive. Matthew chapter 21 and verse 16. When the people are crying out wonderful things. Verse 15, when the chief priests and the scribes saw the wonderful things that he did and the children that were crying in the temple and saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were moved with indignation. And he said unto them, Hearest thou what these things are saying? And Jesus said unto them, Yea, did you never read? Now listen, he quotes from the book of Isaiah. I'm sorry, the book of Psalms. Psalm chapter 8 and verse 2. Out of the mouth of babes. But he wasn't asking, did you never read the book of Psalms? He knew that they had read the book of Psalms. And they've read this passage, Psalm 8 and verse 2. But they didn't read it and apply that out of the mouth of babes thou hast perfected praise. If they had read that and understood that and applied it, they wouldn't have minded the children praising him. And then a third way that he mentions this is in our reading there of Luke chapter 10. How do you read? And so he's speaking to purpose and motive. Well, I read to get my Bible class lesson. Well, that's great. Every once in a while when I have a little extra time, I do some reading. That's great. But is there more to that? And that's what we want to see this evening. Let's look at a few reasons why some people read the Bible. Some people read the Bible just simply to satisfy curiosity. You ever been around somebody like that? Or to say they've read it. The family and I, we read the whole Bible last year, and that was good for us. But is that it? Just to tell somebody we read the whole Bible? And we encourage people to do daily Bible reading. We're talking about that. And we've started reading this new year. But is that all there is to it when we get done to tell somebody, well, we've read the whole Bible? Or to satisfy curiosity. My friend said something the other day, and so I looked it up in the Bible. Or to meet a requirement, such as, well, I've got to get my Bible class lesson filled out. But I'm not going to do anything with it. Turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 36. It reminds me of the story of Jehoiakim, when God told Jeremiah and Baruch to go tell the people the word of God. And they start reading the word of God to Jehoiakim, and he just cuts it up and throws it in the fire and acts like, well, that's no big deal. So people hear the word of God, but then they just walk away without doing anything. We've got to have more than that. It's not just about filling out a lesson. It's not just about some academic exercise. I went to a college that had some Bible classes as a part of the curriculum. And there were several people in the classes who weren't Christians. They weren't members of the church. But they had to fill out the lessons in order to study for the tests. And some of them would come to me and say, will you help me study for the test? And will you help me fill in the blanks and help me find where the Bible... So they were meeting a requirement. They were getting a grade, but they weren't applying it in their lives. And so I would try to talk with some of them from time to time. Hey, you know, this is more than just a test. You know that we're actually supposed to follow this stuff? You know? No. I just need help because I got a test tomorrow. And can you help me, you know, find where in the Bible I get the answers? So, I mean, that does happen. And Jehoiakim, we find here when the word of God is being read to him, verse 23, Jeremiah 36, 23. And it came to pass when Jehudi had read three or four leaves or columns that the king cut it with a penknife and cast it into the fire that was in the brazier until the roll was consumed in the fire that was in the brazier. And they were not afraid nor rent their garments, neither the king nor any of his servants that heard these words. Well, that's interesting. But we're not going to do anything. And that's why some people read the Bible. Let that not be us. Do you know that some people read the Bible to maintain a routine or to keep up a tradition or some sort of a status symbol? Do you know that the Bible is used in some traditions even in America? Certain people will be sworn in, put your hand on the Bible. Well, nobody reads it. It's just a book. You know? Just put your hand on it. Well, have you ever? I don't plan on reading it. Never read it in my life. But, you know, there'll be people sworn in where the Bible... Sometimes there'll be weddings. There'll be weddings and the people will come forward and the guy up front officiate, he'll have a Bible and, you know, they might say something about... It's just going through, it's just some book. You could have another black book up there and nobody would probably even know or care. So there's a lot of times when people have a Bible, but they're not reading it to understand. They're not reading it to apply and seek truth. They're just reading it. It's just something you're supposed to do. It's a tradition. It's a routine. It's a status symbol. And there, you give it a wedding shower. Here's a Bible. A birthday. Here's a Bible. Nobody ever reads them. It's just something you do. Now, we don't do that. I'm talking about other people. Or they'll talk about, hey, somebody gave me a new Bible the other day. I got a new Bible. And they engraved my name on the front. Have you read it yet? No, I haven't read it. But look at this new Bible. I think about... Turn with me to Acts chapter 8. I think about the Ethiopian eunuch. He's riding along the way, and this man is impressive. I love this man. He's impressive. Enough to own his own copy of the book of Isaiah. That would have been extremely rare. To love God's word enough, but he's reading it. But that's not enough for Philip. Philip, when he joins up, says, look, do you understand what you're reading? It's not just enough to read. Well, what are you doing? Well, I'm reading. Well, you've got to read to understand. And so Philip preached to him Jesus so that he could understand that prophecy meant Jesus. So it's not enough just to go through a routine. Look at Acts chapter 13. Do you know that the scripture was read every Sabbath day without fail in the synagogue? The Jews read the scripture, but they would not apply it in their lives. In Acts chapter 13, verse 15, that is pointed out. Acts chapter 13, verse 15. And after the reading of the law and the prophets, the rulers of the synagogue sent unto them, saying, brethren, if you have any word of exhortation for the people, say on. And Paul preaches a sermon and eventually comes down to preaching to them remission of sins in Jesus, verse 38. But they had read the law every Sabbath, but they did not apply the prophecies to Jesus. What's happening then? We're just going through a routine. Every Sabbath, okay, let's pick up where we left off last Sabbath and just read through it. And they're reading through a lot of material that applied to the coming of the Christ, but they would not apply it. We come on down to Acts chapter 13 and verse 27. For they that dwell in Jerusalem and their rulers, because they knew him not, nor the voice of the prophets, which are read every Sabbath. Wait a minute, they're reading it every Sabbath. And by the way, the synagogue started about 200 years before Christ. 200 years. Somebody do the math real quick.
52 Sabbaths a year for 200 years. You can read a lot of the law of God. But then come Jesus, well, let's crucify him. No, there would have been plenty of indications that he was the Messiah. Born in Bethlehem, Micah 5:2. Born of a virgin, Isaiah 7:14, and on and on and on. But they read it every Sabbath. You can read it and just go through a routine and not apply it.
We find the same thing in Acts 15:21. Moses is read every Sabbath. Well, they had the wrong motive and reason and purpose. And here's what happened. Turn with me. Here's the indication. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians 3:15. You can read all day long, every day, every week, but if you have your mind made up, look at 2 Corinthians 3:15. If you have your mind made up about something religiously, you can read it over and over and over again, but you will be blinded to the truth. The Jews had their mind made up about who their Messiah should be. They read it every Sabbath, but it was blinded to them, the truth of it, because they had like a veil on their face. And so it happens today. There can be people in the religious world, denominational world, they read their Bible all the time. And that's great. But they've already been told by man something about religious things, whether it's the plan of salvation or something else, and that's the only way they see the Bible. And it's like having a veil on their face. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 14. Paul was talking about the Jews of his day. But their minds were hardened for until this very... That's the Jews who wouldn't obey Jesus. Many did. Many on the day of Pentecost did, but many others did not. And these people, their minds are hardened for until this very day, at the reading of the old covenant, the same veil remaineth, it not being revealed to them that it was done away in Christ. But unto this day, whensoever Moses is read, a veil lieth upon their heart. They will not come and accept Jesus and the truth of Jesus. Because a veil, it's like it's covering... That they can't see it. And the reason they can't see it is not because they can't see it. It's because they won't see it. And their minds have already been twisted and turned to think about something else. And so they do not see the truth. But oh yeah, they read it every Sabbath. And so we have to go deeper than just reading out of a routine. You know, some people read the Bible in order to win an argument. This happens all the time. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 4. They want to quote a verse so that they can get one up on you. So you quote a verse that proves what you believe, then they quote a verse to counteract that, you know, and then you try to answer that in context. Well, then I got another verse. And there's nothing wrong. We need to turn to the Bible to defend truth. We need to contend earnestly for the faith, Jude 3. And so we need to quote book, chapter, and verse. There's nothing wrong with going to the Bible to defend what we believe, but some don't have the truth, and they try to turn to the Bible, to use the Bible to win an argument, and all they're doing is trying to find some proof text to back up what they've said, and they take a passage out of its context and make it a proof text. Every text out of its context becomes a proof text. And that's what the devil did. In Matthew chapter 4, we know how the devil tried to tempt Jesus. And one of his temptations was, look at verse 5. I'm going to take you to the pinnacle of the temple and you jump off. And in order to prove my point or win my argument, there's a verse in the Bible says that his angels will bear you up. So, jump off. He was just quoting a verse in order to win an argument, in order to prove a point. But he misused that psalm. That psalm is not about tempting the Lord. Jump off and tempt the Lord to see if his angels will come catch you. You read the whole psalm, it's about trusting in the Lord on a daily basis and he'll take care of you. But the devil's just trying to quote something to win an argument. And people do that all the time. That's not why we need to read. That's not why we need to be reading our Bible, to try to win an argument. Do you know that some people read the Bible to try to get something out of it? And this is similar to the point that we've just made. They're trying to find justification for how they want to live or for what they want to believe. there are homosexuals who will turn to the Bible and they'll go to the story of the centurion who had a servant boy who was sick and asked Jesus to come heal him and say, well, there's an example of a man who had a young lover. I mean, you can justify anything out of the Bible that way. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 22. There were some Jews who, by the way, read their Bible all the time. They're called Sadducees. But they read it, seeing only what they wanted to see, and when they went to it, they wanted to find something for justification. They did not believe in the resurrection. Matthew 22, 23. These people did not believe in the resurrection. But they go to the Bible to try to find a conundrum for Jesus. We're gonna go to the book of Deuteronomy. And in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 25 and verse 5, we're gonna find there a woman who marries a man, and the law said that when he dies, his brother is supposed to marry her to keep the property and so forth in the family. And then he dies, and another brother marries her and so forth. You know what? We've got a conundrum for Jesus. We've found a scripture that shows that if all these people die in the resurrection, you know, whose wife will she be? Jesus said, you do err not knowing the scriptures nor the power of God. In the resurrection, they neither marry nor given in marriage. And so, what's your point? But why did they go to that scripture? In order to find some sort of justification or defense for what they believed. And people do that as well. That's not why we need to read our Bible. And then some people, they don't try to get something out of the Bible. They try to put something into the Bible. Turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 3. And so they insert things that are not in Scripture. They'll read a Scripture, they'll read a passage, and then they'll insert their philosophy, their theology, their man-made teaching. And so they end up twisting the Scriptures. And Peter talks about this, that in Paul's epistles, some things are hard to be understood, which the ignorant and unsteadfast wrest or twist as they do the other Scriptures. How do you twist and distort a passage? You take it out of its context and you insert something into it. It's called eisegesis. You read into it what you want to believe, and then all of a sudden that's what it says. That's not how we read. That's not why we read, but a lot of people do that. We don't need to do that. We don't need to read just simply to satisfy curiosity or fulfill a requirement or to go through a ritual or routine. We don't need to read the Bible to win an argument or to find some justification or to try to twist it in some way. As we close this morning, here's why we need to read. We need to read in order to apply and obey God's Word. And we're under the New Covenant. And when we're reading the New Covenant and reading the Word of God there, we are to apply it. Do you remember when Jesus stood up to read? Look at Luke chapter 4. He was in Nazareth and he went into the synagogue there in Luke chapter 4 and verse 16. As his custom was, he entered into the synagogue on the Sabbath day. He made a custom of that. And by the way, just as another sermon, Jesus made it a custom to worship God on the Sabbath day. That was the law for the Jews. We need to make it a custom to be here on the first day of the week as Christians. That's our habit. That's our routine. That's our custom. We're not going to let anything else get in the way. His custom was to worship on the Sabbath day as was taught in the old law. He didn't skip. He wasn't sometimes there and sometimes not there. He had made a habit of that, a custom. And he stood up to read, and standing up is showing the reverence and the respect. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And he opened the book and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He hath sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recover the sight to the blind and to set at liberty them that are bruised, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." Isaiah 61:1. But look at the very next verse, verse 20. And he closed the book and gave it back to the attendant and sat down, and the eyes of all of the synagogue were fastened on him. And he said, well, that was interesting. Let's go on now. You know, no. he said, today hath this scripture been fulfilled in your ears. And then he goes on to talk about how that scripture was applying to them right then. You've got to read it and apply it. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 1 and verse 3. That's the only way, motive, and reason why we're reading. We're not just reading to be reading. We're reading to get something out of it. How can I be a better person? How can I obey the gospel? How can I be a better Christian? I always must be reading with that motive. Never just simply to fill out a lesson. To go through the motion is just something we do. In Revelation chapter 1 and verse 3, here's where the blessedness comes, not just in the reading, but blessed is he that readeth and they that hear the words of the prophecy and keep the things that are written therein. Underscore that. We have to read it and then keep it or obey it. That and only then and only then are we blessed. And we must read it not to get something out of it, but to get someone out of it. We need to read God's Word to become more like God and His Son, Jesus Christ. There are so many passages of Scripture, both in the Old and New Testament, that speak to the matter of reading in order to change one's life. I just would like to look at a few of them. Do you remember in Deuteronomy chapter 17, there's the little bit of a section there about when you get a king, one day you're going to get a king and what he's supposed to do. In Deuteronomy chapter 17, and verse 18, turn with me there. Deuteronomy 17, 18. And it shall be that when he sitteth upon the throne of his kingdom, that he shall write him a copy of this law in a book out of that which is before the priest and the Levites. Wouldn't that be neat if every leader of every nation would make his own personal copy of God's word? Just sitting there writing it out would be great, wouldn't it? You'd learn a whole lot, wouldn't it? But he's supposed to write it out. But look at verse 19. It doesn't stop there. And it shall be with him, and he shall read therein all the days of his life. But it doesn't stop. Look at it. That he may learn to fear Jehovah his God and to keep all the words of this law. That's why you read it. To learn and to keep it. That's our motive. That's our purpose. And there are so many passages like that. In Deuteronomy 31, Joshua chapter 8, all of Israel was to gather together to hear the reading of the law. And then it says that they may do the words of the law. Josiah read the book of the law and caused the people to do it. 2 Kings 22 and 23. When God's people come back after the Babylonian captivity in Nehemiah chapter 8 and 9, they read a good part of the day, from morning till noon, they stood there and read all of the Word of God. And chapter 9 says they went out and they did it. That's why we read our Bibles, brethren. I think we do a great job of reading. How are we doing on the applying? And when Paul preached in Acts 17 in the city there of Thessalonica, he read from the Scriptures in order to show them that Jesus was the Christ so that they could go out and obey Him. And there are so many other passages that tell us that the Word of God, 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17, is for instruction, for correction. We have to bring our lives into conformity to God's Word and God's will. As we think about the importance of reading Scripture, so many are not reading it in their lives. And the statistics are showing that it's a sad commentary on our nation. Oh, how we love the Bible, but not many people are reading it in this country. They're laying around everywhere, but people are not reading them. And so we need to read them, but we need to go a step further. We need to ask ourselves, why am I reading? Why am I reading? Just simply to get a lesson or to obey? Simply to follow along in a sermon or a Bible class? Or to obey. And it's only then are we blessed. We want to be blessed. And that's going to come when we read and keep the Word of God. We might assist you this morning in doing that very thing. There may be someone who needs to come and respond to the gospel. You've read it. You've heard it. Now it's time to keep it. Now it's time to obey it. You need to obey the word of God coming and repenting and being baptized. Do you need to come back in some way as an erring child of God? Let's read. Let's read daily, but let's read with the purpose and the intent and the motive of applying it in our lives and being better people in the sight of God. If we can assist you in some way, why won't you come as we stand and sing?